And at the same time, the Buddha cries out in a loud voice, saying, "Who is able to preach the White Lotus Sutra in the Saha world?" Now, when he says that, or when he has said that, at this point in the sutra, there occurs a whole group of episodes which may be a later interpolation, so I'm going to omit them. They rather break up the continuity of the action, and in any case, our time is rather short. So continuing, in response to the Buddha's demand, who is able to preach the White Lotus Sutra in the Saha world, in response to this demand, there come forward two bodhisattvas, and they promise to preserve and propagate the White Lotus Sutra after the Buddha's death, or parinirvana. And all the arahants who have been predicted to perfect Buddhahood, they give a similar pledge. Now there are two women, two nuns, standing to one side. These are Mahaprajapati, who was the Buddha's aunt and foster mother, and Yashodhara, who was his wife in the days before he left home. So they became nuns, or they had become nuns, after the Buddha's enlightenment, under his guidance, and they now are feeling rather sad, rather sorrowful, because they haven't been predicted to perfect Buddhahood. But the Buddha tells them that they too are short one day of reaching supreme perfect Buddhahood, and they too give a pledge to protect the White Lotus Sutra. Now the irreversible bodhisattvas now announce their determination to disseminate the White Lotus Sutra throughout the whole universe. And the whole assembly, everybody present, Buddhas, bodhisattvas, irreversible bodhisattvas, arahants, monks, nuns, everybody, begs the Buddha to have no anxiety about the future of his teaching in the White Lotus Sutra. They say that dreadful days are coming. A very dark age is approaching. A time of war, a time of confusion, a time of bloodshed, a time of evil. But they tell the Buddha, do not worry. Even in this dark age, this dreadful age that is coming, we shall remember the teaching, we shall preserve it, we shall protect it, and we shall propagate it. And the Bodhisattva Manjushri comments that this is a tremendous responsibility. And the Buddha agrees. And the Buddha further says that in order to fulfill this mission of protecting and preserving and propagating the White Lotus Sutra, the bodhisattvas who do this will have to be endowed with four qualities. He says, first, they must be perfect in conduct. Secondly, they must confine themselves to proper sphere of activity. They must avoid unsuitable company and dwell inwardly in the true nature of reality. Thirdly, they must maintain happy, peaceful states of mind, unaffected by zeal or envy. And fourthly and lastly, they must cultivate feelings of love towards all living beings. These are the four qualities with which they must be endowed if they want to preserve and propagate the teaching of the White Lotus Sutra. And the Buddha explains each of these qualities in some detail and ends up by telling a parable. It's a parable of the wheel-rolling king, or as we would say, the universal monarch. The Buddha says a certain king, a certain universal monarch, wished to extend his domains. So he went to war, and his soldiers fought heroically. So heroically, so well, so bravely, that the king was very pleased with their behavior, and he gave them all rewards according to their deserts. He gave houses, lands, clothes, slaves, conveyances, gold, silver, gems. He gave everything that he had in the palace to the soldiers, because he was so pleased with their brave behavior. but only one thing he kept back, only one thing he didn't give, and that was the magnificent crest jewel that he wore in his own turban, on his own head. But eventually, the Buddha said, he was so pleased with their behavior, they really had been so heroic, that at the end he took the crown jewel itself, the crest jewel itself, and he handed that also over to the soldiers. So in the same way, the Buddha is pleased with the conduct of the disciples. He sees the effort that they have made. He sees how bravely they fought with Mara. So he gives many more teachings, many more instructions, many more blessings, as it were. And in the end, keeping nothing back, even the supreme teaching, he gives them, he teaches them, the White Lotus Sutra itself. This is the parable. So at this point, having heard this parable, the great bodhisattvas who've come from other world systems, other universes, with their own Buddhas, offer their services too. But Shakyamuni says, no, your services are not necessary. He says, I have innumerable bodhisattvas here in my own Saha world, and they will protect the White Lotus Sutra after my death. So as he says this, the universe shakes and trembles. And from the space underneath the earth there issues a great host, an incalculable host of irreversible bodhisattvas. That is to say, bodhisattvas who've gone so far on the path that they cannot fall back into lower states. They're bound inevitably for perfect Buddhahood. So one by one, all these irreversible bodhisattvas, appearing from the space beneath the earth, salute in turn all the Buddhas present. They then sing their praises. And these proceedings occupy 50 minor eons. And during these proceedings, the whole assembly remains silent. No one says anything. But through the power of the Buddha, it all seems just like an afternoon, just like half a day.